Joe flopped onto the seat and loosened his school tie. His suitcase jutted over the edge of the luggage rack above his head, and its label dangled in front of his eyes. It read, Joseph Binks, care of Mrs. Merle Taverner, 2 Cloister Walk, Canterbury, Kent. Joe ripped the label from its piece of string, scrunched it into a ball, and threw it into the farthest corner of the railway compartment. The woman sitting opposite him was too engrossed in her newspaper to raise an eyebrow. Joe slumped back into his seat and wished, for the 100th time that day, that he was staying in London for Christmas. It was the 20th of December. Through the window, Joe could see a few people hurrying along the platform, weighed down with carrier bags. They had the hunched shoulders and haggard faces of typical Christmas shoppers. Yesterday, Joe had been one of them. He and his dad, Nicholas Binks, had struggled home from the supermarket with bags full of sausage rolls, peanuts, crackers and wrapping paper. Joe sighed and looked at his watch. It was 4:05. Exactly 24 hours ago, he had been standing at the bottom of a stepladder, his arms filled with tinsel. Joe's father had been at the top of the stepladder, banging drawing pins into the ceiling with the heel of his shoe. Bulging bags of half-unpacked shopping littered the carpet, much to the delight of Hamish, who had thrust his nose into all of them. "Oi, get out of it!" Nicholas had shouted when he spied Hamish, sneaking under the sofa with a box of peppermint creams. "Joe, stop that dog! He's about to wolf down Mrs. Ingledew's Christmas present." Yesterday, Joe had been looking forward to the last day of school, and then 2 glorious weeks of holiday. Just Joe and his father, opening their presents, eating too much chocolate, watching telly, taking Hamish for walks on Tooting Common. And then the phone call had come. It had been well after midnight. A light came on and seeped underneath Joe's bedroom door. Joe heard his father tramp to the phone. There was a muffled exclamation. Several grunts followed. The phone clicked back onto its cradle, and Joe sat up in bed. His father's footsteps padded past Joe's bedroom door, and the light went out. In the morning, Joe almost tripped over his suitcase. The battered brown case was sitting on the landing outside his room. It was draped with gossamer, spun by spiders in the attic. Joe looked at it uneasily. Something was wrong. He hastened down the stairs and past his father's wine-coloured case, which bulged ominously in the hall. Hamish was playing with his lead in the kitchen. Joe's father was leaning against the sink, munching a piece of toast. He was wearing a suit. "Listen, son," he said as Joe appeared in the doorway. "I'm afraid something's come up. My aunt, she's had a fall. You remember Great Aunt Adelaide, don't you?" Joe stared at his father. "She was like a mother to me when I was growing up. Anyway, I'm really sorry, Joe, but I'm going to have to go and see her. She's not well at all." He took a deep breath. "Here's the plan. A taxicab will be here in an hour, so you'll need to have your suitcase packed by then. The taxi driver will drop you off at school. Then he'll take me to King's Cross Station, where I'll catch a train to Scotland." Joe's dad chewed a mouthful of toast. Then he brushed a few crumbs from his lip. "When school finishes, the same taxi driver will be waiting for you outside the gates. He'll take you straight to Charing Cross. Your train leaves at 4 on the dot. I've called your mum. She's expecting you to arrive at Canterbury just before 6 o'clock tonight. Oh, you'll be needing some money for the taxi and your train ticket." Joe's father reached into his wallet and offered his son a sheaf of notes. Joe looked at them blankly. Nicholas Binks sighed. "Look, I know you'd like to come with me, but it would be miserable for you, honestly. Scotland's such a long way, and you'd be hanging around the hospital all the time. It wouldn't be much of a Christmas, would it?" Hamish sat at Nicholas's feet and gazed longingly at the piece of toast he was holding. Joe's father ruffled the dog's dirty white fur. "Hamish is going to stay next door with Mrs. Ingledew. Well, don't look at me like that, Joe. He can't come with you. Gordon doesn't like animals, remember? Joe slid onto a stool and began to shake some cereal into a bowl. Look, Joe, I'm sorry, continued his father. I know how disappointed you must be, but it might only be for a few days. I could be back before Christmas Day. Joe, are you listening to me? Well, say something. Joe put down his spoon and looked stonily at his father. You've got a bit of marmalade on your chin, he said.